Toad's Place, the country's hottest nightclub.
Yes.
Has a lot of memories.
It does.
If only those walls could speak.
Yeah, thank God.
Soon they will be. Joe and Andy are in studio, and they're making a Toad's Place documentary. We're linked up to the Kickstarter and all this other stuff. But I think this is going to be the greatest source of information for these two guys.
Yeah.
You calling in your memories, 203-882-9757. I think this is one of probably many visits.
Yeah.
Yes.
We'll gather information. Kent Pierce from News 8 did a piece on Jim Morrison and the Doors. He came in studio. He got connected to so many different people involved in that New Haven Arena story.
Yeah.
He was arrested on stage. I think he wound up speaking with the grandson of the officer that arrested him.
Wow. That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. So we're looking to make those connections, 203-882-9757. But if you have a Toad's Place memory you'd like to share, please do. So the Rolling Stones at Toad's Place, obviously going to make it, right?
Yep, has to.
Has to. There's no... It'd be funny if you didn't.
Right?
We forgot the Stones.
Imagine that. The Rolling Who? You know, I feel like something's missing from that song. The Stones!
Right.
Great.
That'd be something if you left all that out.
It's already being published.
Right. That was just insane.
Story's too good. It's too good.
Yeah.
Too good. All right. Second book.
Now, have you talked to Jimmy Koplik about that? Is he going to be part of the conversation?
Talk to Jimmy early in April, and obviously at some point we're going to have to talk to him about how that Sons of Bob, that whole story went down, Steel Wheels tour starting at Toad's. I mean, that's magic. You got to have him talk
insane.
About that. Yeah.
Really insane.
Wow.
I mean, one of the things I remember, you know, Jimmy has been, he's on the show every week, and he said that they were able to say, the Rolling Stones person said, you can say five words. That's it.
Five.
And so that's, ladies and gentlemen, the Rolling Stones. And I think Jimmy said three, and Mike from Toad said the other two. Yeah. Rolling Stones.
They had to divvy it up.
But yeah, they divvied up the words for the introduction. And there's so many stories, and probably the stories you want to grab are the stories like, and I don't know if this is urban legend, but somebody at a package store saw that someone from Toad's was buying a lot of that whiskey that Keith drinks.
Okay.
I can't think of the name of it right now.
Booze.
But they saw the cases of it, and they were like, maybe this rumor of the Stones playing Toad's is true because they're stocking up on Keith Richards' favorite.
Right.
And then there was another story where some people heard that the Stones were playing. They get to the door.
Yep.
And it's like $1.03 to get in. They're like, I told you the Rolling Stones weren't playing.
You
and
are
they
so stupid.
Left.
Right.
Yeah, it didn't happen so well for Billy Joel because Big Mike in 80 was supposed to keep his lips shut, and he didn't.
Oops.
And so the next morning, Koplik shows up. He goes, why is there a line out the door? I don't know. So, yes, for the Stones, Koplik said, you got to keep it quiet.
Right.
You cannot
say nothing.
Right. That was like an invite only, and I heard that they could have had more people in there.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
It wasn't a full venue.
Dude, for the Stones in New Haven,
right?
Everybody would have rushed up, especially at that time. They
could never pull
tour.
That off now.
Yeah.
No.
So they had the payphone duct taped so no one could pick up the phone and call. Yeah, can you imagine that now?
Right.
No one had a knife to cut them. It's New Haven. Isn't that a gimme?
All right, so you got to have the Stones. You got to have Bob Dylan.
Have to.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, historically long. Many people claim his longest show was at Toad's Place.
Wow.
Because he basically said, oh, we did a set. We want to keep going. And then, like at midnight, he goes, "I want to keep going. I haven't done enough yet."
Right.
And there's stories of reporters saying we just had to leave because we were so tired.
For God's sake!
I was one of those people who I was there and then I left.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
Before the show was over.
There's a lot of those. I mean, that's an historical one. I even think too these little stories of like, I'm a big Huey Lewis fan. So Huey Lewis,
cool guy, very cool.
I grew up in the '80s. I mean, he was in the '80s MTV all the time.
Yeah.
So having his story about, like, one time, for some reason or another, they were having a tough time selling tickets. Can you imagine?
Yeah.
And so Huey Lewis ran up coffee to this ticket saleswoman because he goes, I'm just trying to here to help Huey Lewis.
Yeah.
Bringing up coffee to the Toad's people just to, like, those kind of stories. I've done documentaries a long time. That stuff really is what we're looking for.
Nice.
Those cool little touchstones. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Todd in Bethany.
Hey, guys. How you doing this morning?
Hey. Good, thank you.
All right, so I got one that'll fit that. My wife and I saw Meatloaf back in the day, and I'll tell you, he he looked like he was playing to a stadium, and there was not even half full crowd, right? And he's belting out, and in the middle of the show, he jumps off stage, and he runs out back, and he comes back with a case of Budweiser on his shoulder, two guys in tow, and he's walking around passing out Bud to cool. people in the crowd.
Well, that's a song. I do anything for Bud.
Oh, my God. I thought it was pretty cool with all of them.
That's not the show. He fell off the stage. Was there one?
77.
Okay.
I guess he kicked off.
Thank you, Todd.
Bat Out of Hell, and he fell off stage.
Whoa.
And on Toads. And I guess he pulled Big Mike and said, man, look at the scar. Like, I don't even know if I can continue.
And Mike said, look at you to my floor.
This beautiful bowling wood floor.
Guess what? They have a basement.
Pristine marble.
They have a basement.
I'm surprised he didn't stick to that floor.
But there are so many stories like that, and that's a cool one, too. Meatloaf played there a lot. Blue Oyster Cult played there a lot.
A lot.
A lot. Like, that was like a staple. And there's so many of these little stories. Like, that one, great. Need more of those. I'm a big believer in touchstones. In New Haven, Toad's the touchstone. You need places like this. You can't always play at the Garden or at these other big arenas. You need somewhere like this where you can feel like you can touch the performers. And it's good for the performers, too. That's why I research the bigger national story here. You need small clubs to start your career and also connect with your audience.
Yeah.
And a lot of these are closing down.
Build a following, the whole nine yards. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it was a magical time in Connecticut because rock radio was this new thing where it was just people in their 20s were coming in and playing the music that they loved. There was no corporate structure.
Nothing.
And so, you know, and it was the counterculture.
That's right.
What was quote wrong with the country, you know? And at the same time, all these artists are coming to Toads, coming through New Haven and playing at Toads Place. And the synergy between this radio station and Toads Place and that whole culture of music at that time. When a lot of these artists played at Toads, we didn't know they were going to go on to be.
That's correct.
You too.
Yeah.
That's correct. Dave Matthews Band.
Yeah. Right.
I mean, seriously, like, that's another good one. They kept pressing and kept pressing the people at Toads. You got to take this new band. Called Dave Matthews Band. You ever heard of them yet?
Right.
And they did. And that they got their big start there. There's all these kind of little stories, and you hit it. It's so important to have places like this. Like, I grew up in Cleveland. Rock and roll drives through stories, everything like that.
Yeah.
Toads is so important to the culture of this town. And I love New Haven, and I love Toads. You need places like this.
Yeah, no doubt.
Very important.
Big time.
Karen in the car.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Okay, I don't know which one to pick, but the one that comes to mind most is I was good friends with Tank.
Tank.
Millionaire.
Nice.
So I used to go, got a lot of love for Tank. But
me too.
Peter Frampton comes alive again. Mm. I was upstairs in VIP, and all of a sudden I looked to my right, and there's Natalie Merchant. Mm. And behind her was a drummer from Deep Purple.
Ian Paice.
Yes.
And 10,000 Maniacs.
How did you know Natalie Merchant, 1977?
She was working there. Senor, somebody help me, somebody. He's a dollar.
But it was like when she was just being heard of.
Okay.
Wow.
Yeah, she was not signed yet. Holy smokes.
Damn, man. Damn.
That's the other thing. The people who just showed up to see shows there.
Yes.
Yeah, it's true.
Yes, there's a great story about Eddie. Van Halen played at the Coliseum.
Thank you, Karen.
And he just went after the show just to check it out. And they didn't even know he was coming. And he didn't even know he was there. He just sat at the bar, drank some beer, and just watched the bands that night in 83. Pretty cool.
That's amazing. And, you know, I've worked here, you know, since 86 and left a little... Came back, but yeah, grew up here.
Mm-hmm.
Big Eddie Van Halen fan. I didn't know that until this morning when I was looking at your guest card.
Yeah. Right?
That Eddie Van Halen was in Toad's Place. So you said you're finishing up a project, and then the next year and a half is going to be Toad's Place.
Yep. We're going to start doing some interviews next week, take a break, obviously, for the holidays, and then it's full steam ahead. So we're looking, obviously, for some pseudo-celebrities and musicians, but... A key part of these stories I've always learned are the people like you're reaching out to, and that woman who called and that gentleman who called earlier, these stories are what make it come alive, is we connect with these kind of stories, and it really brings it home, because obviously we get a Billy Joel. Billy's going to talk, but to get someone behind the scenes who actually saw Billy's setups, we were talking about off the song, off break, right. Those are the stories that really make the documentary come alive. That's the stories we really want.
I remember where I was when Eddie Wazoo on this radio station opened the microphone and said, "Ladies and gentlemen, Billy Joel is playing Toad's Place tonight. Yeah. Tickets are on sale now at these locations." And I'm like, well, I have no money.
Right. That's how it was back then.
And I'm too far away from those places to get there right. in time to get tickets.
Right.
Let's talk to Chris in North Brantford. Hey, Chris.
Good morning. How are you?
Hi.
I went to Toad's Place so many times. I saw bands play there for the first time or on the way to stardom. I saw the NRBQ, Max Creek. It's some well-known bands from Connecticut, many local bands. It's Tower of Power many times.
Wow.
Those were regulars. Those were almost house bands. Yeah. NRBQ, Tower of Power, Max Creek.
Wow. Good times.
Yeah. Nick in Middlefield.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Morning.
Morning.
So I went to see Feli at Toad's. It was a good show. It was a rap concert. When it was over, we were about 10 feet from the door, and there were two girls sitting on the ground on the sidewalk. The guys walking in front of us, one of them said something to one of the girls, and the girl went from 0 to 100, completely enraged, and starts chasing the guy down the sidewalk right in front of us.
What is that, a cat?
He cut the football left. Onto the street, and then right when he cuts to left, she runs straight an extra couple feet, and her head slams right into a telephone pole.
Oh, is what everybody said.
Right back.
Right. Oh, did she get knocked out?
No, believe it or not. She took a hard fall.
That's a tough girl, man. That's a tough. Keep running, man. Keep that's a Terminator.
That is
man.
A pro.
Right. Damn.
That'll make the director's cut.
Oh, yeah.
We'll call her Bing.
We can find a home for that.
Yeah.
Robin in South Carolina.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Good, thank you.
Awesome. I've got a lot of memories of Toad's Place, and that's all I have because here we don't have anything like Toad's Place. Yep. But I remember seeing Testament in 1997.
Wow. Mm.
They were with, I believe, Chemical Nine. And Hatebreed was, of course, a staple. John Valby's Christmas show. Every year it was, you know, you got a group of people together just to go to Toad's Place, you know, to see John Valby. Joe Walsh. I mean, I've got so many great
Joe Walsh
memories.
Solo?
Yes.
Wow, that's
where they literally had to carry him on stage.
That's Joe Walsh. Yep, that's him.
I always made it.
I always made it.
Yep. Yes, they carried him on stage. He sang. They carried him off.
That's great.
It was awesome. But yeah, I'm very anxious to see this documentary. Like I said, we've got House of Blues, but it's not the same. It's not as intimate. It's awful.
It's like the Toad's Place has become like one of these bands that we grew up with.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Where when you see the band all together on stage, you say, I have a lot of history with those people.
Yes.
And when you walk into Toad's Place, it's not just a building.
No. Yep.
You know what I mean?
It's part of your life.
It's DNA of the history of your life.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's the ladies in the bathroom with hairspray and perfume and
we weren't allowed in there.
Yeah. And those bathrooms downstairs, that was like going into a dungeon.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, no, right? it's a great memory, and I cannot wait to see this documentary.
Good. And then we're linked up on the radio station website and socials and stuff if you want to help support this movie.
Yeah.
And then follow them and so you get all the updates. Thank you, Robin.
I will do that. Thanks, guys. Have a great Christmas.
Thank you.
Robin.
Thank you.
We mentioned U2 before.
Uh-huh.
So we have Andy and Joe, and they're making a documentary about Toad's Place. Jimmy tells a story that they played for free, their first show there.
Wow.
But there's a story that I never heard about a drum getting thrown or kicked into the audience.
Yeah, so basically they were out one night, and basically what I've been told is Bono was frustrated. It's at one of those nights. They were still getting into the groove, but Brian always claims they knew they were going to be big, but they still weren't known yet. And so at one point, they were U2 led, and then they were going to go off stage, obviously, and they were just adjusting drum set, and it really upset Bono. He took half the drum set and just threw it into the crowd.
Wow.
And then afterwards, the next morning, you could see him walking around the Yale campus just apologizing to random people as they were walking by.
That night, they were called F-U2.
Only a Toads.
Kevin in Milford.
Yeah, 1992, Bon Jovi did a pop-up show there before they went on tour.
That's nuts.
And, damn.
It was, like, announced that day. We went down.
They were big in 92.
Yeah. Huge.
Oh, no, they were huge. They were, they were beyond huge.
That's after Slippery When Wet.
Big time, yep.
Yeah. So it's, like, 10 minutes before the show goes on, and I have to go to the bathroom really bad because I've had a few beers, and I run downstairs to the downstairs bathroom. I'm the only person in the bathroom, and I go to the extreme urinal like a male does. You know, I'm against the wall.
Uh-huh.
And in walks Tico Torres, the drummer.
Yeah.
And there's 15 urinals, and he stands right next to me to go to the bathroom.
Oh, I hate that.
That's awkward.
It's like when you park it. It's like when you
really, and then he started talking to me, and he was kind of messed up. He's like, how you doing, man? And I was like, oh,
you're Tico, you've been drinking or what?
I got really awkward, and I don't even think I finished. I just ran out of there because it just felt really awkward.
You have to wait, where are you going?
You should have taken a selfie. Hey, while I have you here.
Oh, there were pictures.
One other very quick story involving Def Leppard. I went there to see the Black Crowes, and a friend of mine got me the VIP upstairs, and I went and got a drink, and I'm coming up, and there's two guys in front of me, and they wouldn't get out of my way, and I asked them for like a minute. I'm like, excuse me, and there's this big guy and a long blonde-haired guy, and finally I said, hey, can you get that F out of my way? I yelled it, and they both turn around, look at me, and start laughing, and they let me go. About a minute later, they come sit next to me. Ended up to be Steve Clark, the guitarist.
Holy crap.
Damn. Wow.
And
wow.
I ended up talking to him for a while, and he was hilarious. And he just didn't get it. You know, we didn't have cell phones, no cameras or nothing.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Damn.
And it was okay, because that kind of changed everything. Now they go into hiding.
They do.
They don't kind of hang out with us anymore.
No, not anymore. Yeah. Well, look what happened last time.
Exactly. John Truesdale, who was engineer at this radio station, big part of this radio station, other radio stations in Connecticut, but has a long history with Toad's Place and Rent the DJ.
Oh, yeah.
Is on the phone now. Hey, John.
Hey, how's it going? It's good to hear all your voices. How's everybody doing?
Same, right back man, at same.
You. Good.
I just wanted to, you know how I got the gig at Toads. And specifically, what there was another radio station across town that used to do a dance party on Saturday nights there. And they did it live over their airwaves. And what happened was is they would it would go on very late. It would go on at midnight and from midnight to 2. And so oftentimes there would be an early concert, and then it would be followed by the dance party. And so the guy who did nights over at this other station, so we had a lot of keen listeners who would be very sure to tune him in for the dance party right at midnight, when their parents were picking them up from parties and stuff. He's going to start the show after this early concert. And the early concert was the Hooters. And, of course, they had that hit, And We Dance.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
So what this guy decided to do was to open the show with And We Danced by the Hooters. So this is December of 1989. And the crowd's going crazy, love the song. Halfway through the song, a full open bottle of beer comes spinning over the top of the sound booth. Oops. And boom, lands on the CD player. Now, this is 1989 when CDs were kind of new and fragile, in terms of the technology, and just, a million pieces. And so it's important to remember that that this guy's name, his handle was Nasty Boy. That's what, you know, because back then, whatever, right?
Right.
You know? And so he's sitting there, and he's trying to wipe stuff off. Of course, they're on the air. This is, you know, 50,000 watts of airwaves going with just dead air. And so he just grabs the first record he can find. And, you know, it happens to be Me So Horny by Two Live Crew.
Whoops.
Okay. Now, it's a 12-inch single, which has two versions on it. It has, on one side, it says the clean version, and on the other side, it says the nasty version.
And guess which one he
used? And, of course, this, and his handle was Nasty Boy, so he didn't even think of it. Just puts it on, drops the needle, and then continues to try to clean up the beer off the mixer. By today's standards, that song is extremely dirty.
Whoops.
Okay? And so he finishes up, you know, puts on the next record. Fast forward to the following Monday morning, and the phone starts ringing at the radio station to the program director. And, you know, the person calls, and they're like, I can't believe you're playing that song on the radio. That's terrible. And, you know, the program director's like, man, slow down. What are you talking about? Oh, I picked up my daughter at a party, and there was this awful, awful song. And, man, please, what was this song? Oh, it was this song about being horny. And the program director goes, ma'am, was it by any chance Me So Horny? Yes, that's it. Ma'am, that's one of our most popular songs.
Whoops.
we play that all the time. So what ends up happening is after a few more calls come in like that, they ended up, you know, Steph, you know, the program director called the DJ. He's like, hey, what's going on? And I said, yeah, this happened. And I happened to be with them doing a promotion for Ronald McDonald House at the time. And I said, well, you know, I used to be a nightclub DJ, and I did it in Boston and, you know, Amherst and Northampton and, you know, around the Springfield area. If you want, I'll come down. I'll play the music while you host. And that was it for the next 5.5 years.
Wow.
We did over 500 performances there.
So that guy wasn't Me So Fired?
He's so unemployed.
Me So Screwed.
My favorite part is with the PD defending it. That was the best part, though.
Well, John, thanks, man. Great hearing your voice. That's where I met John Truesdale at Toad's Place.
Oh, really?
He was in the booth. He was
nice.
In the DJ booth.
Nice.
It was always him or Keith Dupke.
Oh, wow.
Fred from Horizon Sound. Yeah, there's a lot of Stone stuff we got to pull up to look under to get you some good stories here. But
yep.
The tribe came up big here. There's a lot on our Facebook page. We didn't even come close to scratching the surface.
Wow. Nice.
Are there any stories that you want to track down details on?
There always are. I mean, and when I say that, because there are probably stories that we just don't know about or a band, and those sometimes could be the best thing. So I don't want to put like a label on like the big names. Sometimes stories like in our BQ, there might be a great story in there that we don't know about. There might be a great story of Blue Oyster Cult. There might be thousands of them. So what I'll say is this. We want to hear stories from people that saw Toads as a launching pad. Again, Dave Matthews Band,
yeah.
Michael Bolton, a local guy, used Toads Place a lot
right.
to really launch his career. You too, ironically. We just laugh, but it's true. That they start off a lot of places like this. And in fact, at a People cover back in the 80s, one of their members wore a Toads Place t-shirt.
Nice.
On the cover.
Yeah.
So it shows a lot of respect to Toads Place. So for people who wonder, there is a lot of respect in the music community. I think that's the other thing. There are only so many of these places that have bands that come through. There are bands and bands and bands of people to come through. It's a musical historian kind of place.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if there's any place really like this around the country. So it's right here in your hometown, in your backyard.
Yeah.
What luck. I mean, what a treasure trove.
You can never recreate that now.
No.
No. That was magic.
No, there's too much beer in the wood.
Yeah.
You could never make a place that smells like that when you go in there. You know, the worst thing you could do to someone in prison is put them in solitary confinement, because as humans, we want to be around other humans.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And to go to a music venue and share a musical experience with people, that burst of energy, the vibes that are given out from the audience. That building has seen more great performances and great just vibes than any other concert facility in Connecticut.
Yep.
So great subject, man. We got to have you back.
Yeah. Oh, we'll be back. And thanks for having us. And please keep sharing. Can't tell you, this is a community story. Share, share, share. Please.
Thank
it's
you.
Important.
Did she play there?
No.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Your child deserves an education that sets them up for success. K-12 knows that learning isn't one size fits all and has options tailored to each child's needs, interests, and goals for the future. K-12 powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Students learn at their speed, at home, from state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to enroll today.